Hello neighbors, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. Some months back, I gave a talk titled, "And Who Will Help Me Grow the Food?" It was loosely based on the old parable of the little red hen, who couldn't find anyone to help grow the wheat and grind the grain, but found lots of help in eating the bread. It was about how to avoid the situation of the little red hen. How do we find ways to grow more of what we eat? One of the suggestions was integrating more immigrants and newcomers into the food production system in our province. This is not a new thing. In Canada, since the mid-1960s, we've been bringing in thousands of foreign workers every year, plant and pick and pack and ship our food. It is sometimes called the Seasonal Agricultural Worker Program or the Temporary Foreign Worker Program, but there's nothing temporary about it. It's here to stay. Our Canadian food system would be in crisis without these workers. Today we talk about a program that's focusing on integrating refugees who were farmers in their previous homeland into our agricultural system.
In the classroom, I would ask the students, what was your job back in Syria, or what was your job in Bhutan? And it was farmer, farmer, farmer. Some farmers have really indicated that they see immigration or immigrant labor as the only solution to their problems that they're facing. I mean, what's more important than actually being able to feed yourself or your family or your community, right?
Today's guest works at the Association for New Canadians, what we call the ANC, though it shouldn't be confused with the South African political party. The ANC is a prime agency in our province to assist newcomers, immigrants and refugees alike, to adapt. This can be language training, employment readiness, cultural awareness, learning to navigate our systems of bureaucracy, and more. One of the projects they've worked on with several partners involves a training program for refugees who come from a farming background and who want to continue that work in our province. I met up with the project manager of that program one pleasant summer evening at dusk after a walk in the woods. We were feeding the mosquitoes, as well as visiting a rustic greenhouse that some of the refugee farmers had set up. We sat down to some rhubarb-infused sparkling water. Join us.
My name is Sarah Thompson. I work at the Association for New Canadians, and I'm working on a project, it's a very long name, but what it is aiming to do is trying to connect refugees who were farmers in their home countries to farming opportunities here in the province.
So what countries do they come from?
Well, as I mentioned, they're all refugees. So a lot of the farmers come from Syria, come from Bhutan, also from different countries in Africa, like Eritrea would be one country. A lot of farmers come from Eritrea. And also places like Congo and Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those would be largely the countries.
So one thing that might surprise people would be the number of refugees who have experience in agriculture. Were you surprised by that when you started working?
No, I don't think I was surprised by it. I've always had an interest in agriculture. So when I started working at the ANC, my position was sort of workplace preparation. So it was English language for preparing for the Canadian workplace. So in conversations in the classroom, talking to clients, I would talk about my garden and, you know, sort of trying to find common ground of things to talk about. And there was a lot of interest in hearing about my garden and would love to come see my garden, and not that my garden is anything to write home about, but they certainly were very interested. And then it sort of opened a conversation, and people started to see me as the person to talk to about how can I farm, what can I do here to get farming. So there's a real interest. In the classroom, I would ask the students, you know, what was your job back in Syria, or what was your job in Bhutan? And it was farmer, farmer, farmer. Mm. They may have been truck drivers, they may have been construction workers, but they were also all farmers. So that would be the most common employability skill amongst our clients by far.
I'm intrigued by how they see agriculture and farming in this climate and soil.
Yeah, well, I certainly have clients that say to me, you can't farm in Newfoundland. But that sort of annoys me, because I think people often say that very flippantly. And I don't want our clients to think it's not possible to farm here, because people do farm here. Yeah. They farm differently here to the way they would have farmed in their home country, but it certainly is done, needs to be done more, and they certainly have the skills to do it. So I would always discourage that conversation and show them evidence to the contrary.
One of the things I think is that in some countries they come from, they might have two seasons of farming. We just have basically one harvest. Is that something that comes up here?
Yeah, well, conversations I'd be having would be, well, during monsoon season, we'd be growing the rice, and then we would be doing, I can't even remember now, but what I found very interesting was the range of things that they would do and they would grow. And I could almost name anything and, that too. It was everything. And not only growing the food, but they would have the animals, they would be shearing the sheep, they would be spinning the wool, they would be knitting the clothes, making the carpets, weaving the baskets, they would be making leather to make clothes and make furniture and things like that. And they would be going to forage for honey, you know, so the native honey in the bush, they'd be collecting that. So just everything.
Are there some vegetables they would like to eat that they can't get here, that they're interested in growing here?
Yeah. That conversation I have had on numerous occasions. Communication is a barrier because English isn't their first language, but I have been able to find some things like particular summer squash, for example. Like we would have zucchini. But there's particular kinds of zucchini that they want, or particular kinds of eggplant that they want. Amaranth is another thing that they talk about. Another one is mulahia.
Got me there.
Well, I'm unsure really what it is. I have seen it. I'm not sure how it grows, but it seems like...
Is it a spice, an herb?
It's a green.
It's a green. Okay.
It's a green of some sort. And I think they can buy it here dried, but they want it fresh. And it is, it's eaten by people in Africa. It's eaten by people in Asia, in the Middle East. So it's quite a common green, but I don't know if it would grow here.
Well, that's an experiment you could try, I guess.
Yeah. I have to get the seed, but yeah.
A few of them are working on a greenhouse. We sort of walked through that and that they developed themselves. Tell me a bit about how that came about.
How did that come about? Well, actually,
if you know.
What happened was I became connected with Paul Reynolds Community Center because they have now community gardens, and they're... focus on the garden is for newcomers to, as a source of a means for integration. So it was open to newcomers to use their community gardens. So these gentlemen that now have this greenhouse attended this. They now have a community garden also at Paul Reynolds. And they were talking about, they have all these tomatoes. Ah, that's what it was, right? So he had built himself a greenhouse in his backyard, but he lives in Newfoundland housing, and they took his fence down because they needed to replace the fence. He used the fence as his structure for the greenhouse.
I see.
So he lost his greenhouse, and he very quickly needed to find a place to put his plants, which were growing very quickly in his basement at this point. So my parents this was farming property. I mean, this was always farmland until we moved here, you know, 45 years ago. And mom and dad have always wanted it to be used. They don't like land just being land and not being used. So I said, any chance of these guys being it? And they jumped at it. They loved the idea of that, of making it, being productive land. So they said, by all means, go build it. And they have.
It's productive.
It seems to be productive.
Yeah. Do you have a song that you'd want me to play somewhere in here that you could think of?
Yeah, I have a song. It's nothing to do with farming, though.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. It's I'm a big fan of Van Morrison from Hymns to the Silence.
Yes.
The song is called Take Me Back. Listen to the words of the song. It's very repetitive. It's a very emotive song, but it's about loneliness and challenges that people are currently facing and longing for to go back and to something that you know and you understand. So that would be a lot of our clients. I mean, yes, they escaped very tragic situations for a lot of them, but they still long for home. I mean, home is home, and it's what you know. So to come to Newfoundland and everything to be new, everything to be learned, and often alone, often lonely, because they often come without family. But even if you come with family, you're still in a strange place, and you don't know a lot of people. So that song makes me think of what they struggle with when they come here. And it also makes me have hope that this project might bring them home in a way, back to something that they know.
I've been looking by the river. I've been looking down by the water. I've been looking down by the river.
Van Morrison with Take Me Back. It was a request of my guest today, Sarah Thompson. In this section, we start off by talking about how receptive current farmers are to finding a new source of labor assistance.
Part of what you're doing as well, I understand, is to try to integrate them in the possibility of working on farms or working with farmers or starting their own or whatever, which is a, well, daunting task in some ways.
I'm realizing. I don't mean to discourage you, but I think it's very important work.
But are, do you find that, because farmers do talk about a lack of labor, is there some receptivity to having people?
I feel good response. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've certainly cast the net out to the farmers in the province as broadly as I could. Of course, not everyone responded to my email.
Yeah, but I find that too.
Good, it's not just me.
No, just don't take it personally.
But I did get response, and you know, I've got response from all parts of the province, including Labrador. Some farmers have really indicated that they see immigration or immigrant labor as the only solution to their problems that they're facing. Mm-hmm. One farmer I visited talked about the fact that his community is made up of senior citizens, only senior citizens working on his farm, mm-hmm. and they're retiring or passing on. Right. So he doesn't know what else to do to keep his farm going. Mm-hmm. And you know, apart from that, I've had people that are very open to the possibility of hiring newcomers. Mm-hmm. I think there will be challenges with that, but hopefully this will be a good test and mm-hmm. to see, you know, how it works. And the support will be there now that the association has satellite offices mm-hmm. throughout the province mm-hmm. and we're able to make connections and provide mm-hmm. sort of more localized supports. So crossing my fingers and yeah. hoping that we can build some good relationships.
Would the challenges be the same as for any newcomers in terms of language, culture, that actually by doing something that they used to do back home, it centers them in a way that wouldn't otherwise.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, the challenges are different in some respects in that a lot of the refugee population have had limited or no education in some situations. Yes. So that does come with some challenges. However, as you're saying, like, they're learning a language in an environment that they understand. Mm-hmm. So I think if you give them an opportunity to demonstrate their skills from a place of strength and knowledge and background, I think those barriers will shed away fairly quickly. Probably needs a lot of patience initially on both sides, but I have a feeling that it would be really rewarding if the opportunity is there.
There are many times when I hear people talk about problems in agriculture, especially in our province, that requires immigrants, basically, is that we don't have enough people who are going into it from here. Yeah. It puts a lot of pressure on you. The future of being able to eat in this province. These are happening in some other provinces as well. They're targeting, they're providing assistance in the farming context.
Yeah, there do seem to be things happening in other provinces. I know there have been attempts in the Ontario region of Kinte.
Okay, Kinte, yeah, that's Kinte, right.
Quinte, is it? So I know they have already piloted a project mm-hmm. where they did connect, particularly in this case, I think it was Syrian farmers, to jobs on farms. And they're expanding their program, and now they're looking at further, if I'm correct, but I think they've also noted a lot of people are interested in starting their own farms. So they're helping, trying to support newcomers, actually, mm-hmm. the pathway to actually being able to start their own farms. Mm-hmm. You know, Alberta, I know there's been attempts in Alberta as well as Nova Scotia and PEI. These are some provinces I know that have been doing similar sorts of things.
Are there some things that we grow that the people you work with come and they see the gardens and or they work and they are excited by the vegetables that we're growing? Does that ever happen?
I tell you what they're very excited about are the weeds that they pick around the vegetables.
I see. Are these things that we haven't been eating that have some value?
Lamb's quarters.
Oh, yes.
Again, that's something that seems to be parts of Africa. They know it. Mm-hmm. And also the Bhutanese mm-hmm. know it. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow, actually, we're going to... I mentioned to you that we have a little plot that we're able to farm the school. The ESL learners are able to farm in the summertime. And we'll go up there tomorrow to do some weeding. So
so they'll take the weeds home with
yep.
them.
Yeah, they will. They will. They'll take the weeds home, and I get to benefit from some of.
So you've tasted some of these?
Yeah, sure. They give me little samples of their lamb's quarters. So yeah, certainly that. I mean, we are trying to grow things that we think they'd be interested in having. So this year, what is it we've tried? The zucchini that the Syrians in particular love is, they call it kusa, but it's a shorter zucchini and it's a paler color. We're growing lots of that at the garden this year and it seems to be doing really well. We're growing mustard greens, and then the typical potatoes, carrots and beet. But they love the potatoes, particularly mm-hmm. potatoes. Good. Yeah.
Would they have grown that, say, in Syria?
Absolutely.
Way back. When you walked in a green field, in a green meadow, down an avenue of trees,
blue. You didn't have no worries. You didn't have no care. You were walking in a green field, in a meadow, full of buttercups in the summertime. And you look way out over, way out, way out over the city and the water. And it felt so good, it felt so good. You keep on walking. So much soul, have so much soul, and you listen in the nighttime when it was still and quiet, and you looked out on the water, the big ships, the big boats kept on sailing by, 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 by. You felt so good, and I felt so good. I thought I want to blow my harmonica.
That's Van Morrison's Take Me Back. I'm talking today to Sarah Thompson, a staff member at the Association for New Canadians and the project manager for Bridging the Divide, helping refugees with experience in farming to explore the opportunities to grow food here in Newfoundland and Labrador.
What are the next steps for the project as you're going through? And once this growing season is over, or obviously to hold it all together, are there other kinds of education that you provide them around farming during the winter months?
Well, that's what's coming. Okay. So starting in probably in January, we're going to look at delivering some English for specific purposes around farming. So yeah, that would be on a part-time basis, and hopefully give them some of the language that will then help prepare them for a place that will happen next summer. So yep. we're aiming to place roughly 10 clients on farms, and it could be anywhere in the province. You know, we have to make good matches. We have to make sure that everyone is comfortable and the resources are in place for everyone. So we'll see. At this point, we don't know where that's going to be.
And you're well connected in with the Federation of Agriculture and so on to help facilitate this connection.
They've been a great support and great at connecting me with other associations and with farmers. So that's been a good resource for me going.
What's your favorite Newfoundland food or drink? Is there something that you you would miss if you had to move to another land?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, blueberries.
Blueberries.
But it's it's not, well, actually, chanterelles. It's the place, the food of the place that I love, food that grows it's just here, it's part of the place. Yeah. When I think about, you know, the prospect of leaving Newfoundland, that's what I would yearn for, picking a nice blueberry patch. So I remember one time my husband and I were living in Buren, and we found a sheep farmer, and we went to the farm and ordered our lamb, and we went away and he had the biggest grin on his face. He was just so tickled pink that he had, you know, ordered this lamb, and he said, "Sarah, it's kind of like if we were in New Zealand and you came across a blueberry patch."
We've talked mostly about vegetables, but are they interested in animals too, like lamb, goat, other
They would have done all of that. Well, I mean, again, there is a huge range as well. A lot of the Syrian farmers were dairy farmers.
Oh, okay.
And they would have, they would really love an opportunity to continue in dairy. Yeah. That would probably be challenging for them to start on their own.
Oh, yeah.
But then, you know, a lot of chicken farmers. And then the farmers that, for example, like in Bhutan, where they did everything, they had and Bhutan and Eritrea, actually, they had all animals.
Yeah. I remember you said once about how a fair number of them had experience with cheese making because they were in dairy, which strikes me as interesting because we have one cheesemaker in the province. Are there some who would like to explore that? Is there some possibility of us actually having more local cheese?
I'm crossing my fingers.
Okay, I'll cross mine too.
I'm crossing my fingers. There's definitely an interest on the side of our clients to share that knowledge and to be able to, the prospect of them being able to work with raw milk excites them
they use
greatly.
It for, I see.
And interestingly, you know, because I'm really in the process now of interviewing the refugee farmers, so I'm trying to get a greater sense of what their backgrounds were. Yeah. The Eritrean farmers did a lot of dairy, but a lot with the whey products as well, which I found really interesting, and wonder if there's a potential there, because I understand that whey is a lot of wastage in
byproduct that's thrown away.
What could be made from that? I don't know. To be explored.
Would their kind of cheese be slightly different than us, like a softer cheese, like the South American, the queso or whatever?
I haven't figured it out completely. Yeah. I know the Syrians and the Eritreans would have made a ricotta-like cheese, but particularly for the Syrians, I think they did more cheeses than that as well. I think there were hard cheeses in there as well, and they would talk. We did have an opportunity to visit the Five Brothers Cheese there a couple of summers ago, and just in conversation with the cheese maker, Adam Blanchard. They were talking about, you have to make sure you get sheep's milk, and you also want to make sure you get the colostrum. Now, they weren't using colostrum, but make sure you get that really early milk, and that makes the best cheese. And, they obviously knew what they were talking about.
Yeah.
So I think there is a fair bit of knowledge there.
So you've worked with New Canadians for a while, but not necessarily focused on food. Has this changed the way you cook or eat or think about food?
I mentioned it was already an interest, but I would say, I'm trying different things in the garden that I wouldn't have tried before. I'm really enjoying the conversations that I'm having now with people like yourself and the clients. Yeah, I'm valuing what it takes to make food more, I think. I don't think there's a more noble job than, what's more important than actually being able to feed yourself or your family or your community, right? And I really hope that our clients have an opportunity to be valued for that skill that they have.
Yeah, that's so important. And I know, with immigration rules, with a certain way in which you get categorized, it tends to be the high skill levels, which doesn't include cheese making. Last I looked.
But what I'm really, the other thing that I like about this project, but again, it's daunting. Wouldn't it be great if some of these newcomers actually made a life outside of the overpass in different parts of the province? Rural living for most of these clients, most of these people, is normal life for them. So it's a lifestyle that they would love.
Yeah.
But they haven't had an opportunity to see anything more of the province, really, than St. John's, which is unfortunate. We did get to the Clarenville Farmers Market with some of our clients a few weeks ago, so that was great.
Yeah.
But there needs to be more opportunity to see the place and the potential and more chances for cross-sharing of values.
I think the project has ticked so many boxes, because in terms of assisting with newcomers, you have the experience with that, but then adding in the farming piece is you're uniquely placed as an organization, as an individual, to be of service, because otherwise they would be in the rural communities without any support, and how long they'd be able to stay.
So that was a bit fortuitous, actually, because when I imagined this project, I didn't actually even know that the satellite offices were on the horizon. The fact that they exist now just makes the potential a greater.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
You're very welcome.
Just a brief update since that interview. The educational program continued over the winter with 13 participants. They had a graduation in late March. Currently, Imad and Nizar, originally from Syria, are working at Murray's Meadows Farm. They are eagerly being mentored on organic practices and intensive farming techniques, and they're in the process of opening up more land. And they've been able to keep a few sheep on the property as well. Also, Mbusa, originally from Congo, has moved to St. David's to work as a milker for New World Dairy.
Living for most of these people is normal life for them, so it's a lifestyle that they would love. A lot of the Syrian farmers were dairy farmers, and they would really love an opportunity to continue in dairy.
Yep.
And it also makes me have hope that this project might bring them home in a way, back to something that they know.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of this show, or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The song for today's show was by the one and only Van Morrison, a song called Take Me Back. Well, at least two-thirds of it. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was performed this week by the farmer, writer, videographer, and musician from Arkansas, Paw Mack. Look up his show, The Farmhand's Companion. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.
I love food that grows just, it's just here. It's part of the place.